Elena. I'm a new media artist, independent curator, and researcher. I'm now working on my PhD about LLMs and political ideology in Angewandte. And I work with different technologies like biomedia, the Internet of Things, and one of my main topics is artificial intelligence. But today I'm planning to talk about practices, artistic practices at the intersection of art, technology, and tactical media. I'm planning to talk about my own artistic practice and about my curatorial project, including other artists' works. And all these works, they're dealing with the fundamental asymmetry of power, which we are facing these days, when we as citizens are transparent, while states and corporations, they're opaque. And also, these works are artistic prototypes. We can easily imagine that these projects can be applied in political context and adapted for activism. And in the end of my presentation, I'm planning to introduce a new initiative I'm currently developing in cooperation with Warhol Foundation. And we will announce this initiative, which we launch next year. And when I face this fundamental asymmetry of power as a person coming from Russia, this pretty totalitarian country, I'm thinking artistically how we can deal with these asymmetries and what can we do artistically. And in my practice, I'm using two approaches, and I'm working with alternative ways of communication, and I'm approaching this in two ways mainly. First of all, I'm hijacking existing infrastructures, and second way, I'm creating new means of communication. And my first project I want to present is Deus Ex Machina. I started this project in 2016. And in this project, I combined two technologies which were relevant to me back then. First is artificial neural networks, and second is the Internet of Things. And I trained neural network with long short-term memory on a big data of sacred text, and then I used another neural network for speech synthesis. And then I hacked different devices on the Internet of Things, such as IP cameras with speakers, IP printers, and media servers to spread this AI-generated message. And while I was asked back then many times if I see this project as an activist project, I always said that this project to me was more like artistic, experimental way to explore this media and to raise these critical questions, like about biopolitics and how these technologies, the Internet of Things and AI, can be used. How can they be merged to surveil and to used for control? And so that was my first experiment with AI. And then in 2018, I did this project Message in a Bottle. And this project is exploring different directions. So that was basically alternative means of communication. So we used ESP8266 and these solar panels, small battery, we launched this small server on ESP built-in memory. And when people, so it was like open Wi-Fi spot. So when people connected to this Wi-Fi spot, they could see this like captive portal, and they could see this forum. They could leave a message, and that was this poetic response to internet censorship. And so we spread these bottles in the city, and people could communicate, could send the message, and could read this like an anonymous forum. And this is how it looked like. And in 2022, when the war in Ukraine started, I fled from the country And I was super depressed and frustrated, and I started this practice, which I called hack therapy. So I started hacking cameras in Russia and spread AI-generated anti-war, anti-Putin messages all over the country. And we can watch documentation of this project.
В зале камеры.
So yeah, I'm showing this project. thank you. I'm showing this project as an example how some purely artistic project, as like Deus Ex Machina, who I showed before, could be repurposed for political activism. So basically, that was a reenactment of my old work, which I used to spread this anti-war, anti-Putin message in Russia. And now I'm developing a new project, which is called 868 Labs. And I'm doing this project in a collaboration with my colleague Katerina Kataeva and our anonymous collaborators who are doing a great job developing this hardware. And this project is about the distributed mesh peer-to-peer network based on LoRa technology, LoRa range radio waves, and we are developing our custom electronics to create these LoRa-based transmitters. And we saw this project as a response to the situations such as internet restrictions, network fragmentation, war zones, and high surveillance environments. And we see it as a series of wearables, wearable transmitters, and you can connect with your smartphone to the transmitter and send the message in this alternative network. And what is great about LoRa that you can send messages over long distances. So world record was around like 800 kilometers, but even in the city, you can send message from one device to another up to like 10, 15 kilometers, and which I think it's really good. And but while we saw this project as this like a critical response to this like situations, like problematic situations, now we see it as a technology which can be used for everyday life. Like if you're interested in private, secure communication, you can use this technology. And I think we will develop our, like, we already developed several prototypes, but I think we will have, like, fully working prototype by May. And, yeah, and this is our promo.
We are 868 Labs, a collective developing tactical tools for off-grid communication. We build systems that opt out of surveillance infrastructure without opting out of connection.
And now I want to talk about my curatorial project, Digital Resistance. And I showed this project several times. And last time I showed it in Amsterdam in August. And in this project, I'm showing other artists' works. And these works are all working with this asymmetry of power in terms of information technology and communication. And these artists are approaching this asymmetry in different ways. So some of them, they're again creating alternative means of communication. And some of the artists, they're approaching this in ways obfuscating data, protecting our data. And so like somehow dealing with these asymmetries. And the first piece is work of my ex-student, and it's called Detail Radar Can Great Pigeon Swap Prison Buyer Game Quote Forum Cake. Great title, I think. And he did this project in 2022, and he started from research on alternative means of communication and in Russia, so in a situation where all media are controlled by the state and you don't have any like way to spread alternative position, alternative perspective. So he created this application, a blockchain-based application, and this application. In this application, you can anonymously leave a message in augmented reality, but this message can only be seen if you go to the same location where it was sent. So. And he tested with his community, he tested this application on Pushkin Square, which in Russia became the symbolic place for anti-war protest, where protest is impossible because there are a lot of police there. And they were testing and leaving these anti-war messages. So this says how many people were killed in Ukraine. And here also, like, they are leaving some anti-war, anti-regime messages. And here you can see, like, this documentation where also, like, they were walking around on Pushkin Square, like, reading and leaving messages. Yeah, it says like it was obvious you had to flee. also like about numbers of people killed in Kharkiv. Yeah, and this is another project, also a project by my student, Vita Shakhnovich, ACCTV. She did this project in 2019, and this is like a device, a choker with vibration motor, which can show you through vibration where you are in the area surveilled by CCTV cameras. And so she thinks about this device as this like a new organ, which gives you a sixth sense, a sense of being surveilled, and by like this vibration when you are in a surveilled area. This is another project by group Grey Cake. It's called Backlash, and it was done in 2020, commissioned for my exhibition Datasets versus Mindsets, Post-Soviet Explorations of the Digital Control Society. And these artists, they train neural networks to identify police officers in videos and photos from protests and cover all protesters, basically leaving all police officers uncovered, like at the scene. And what is interesting here that they said when they started working on the project, they realized that there are no data sets with police officers. yeah, there are different data sets with different data, and but here they had to collect their own data set manually. And this is, I think it's also a great example of this asymmetry of power. And I think this is like a great response and how we can use technology creatively to deal with this asymmetry of power, and to how the same technologies which can be used to surveil us can be used for for civil society. And this is another project by my colleague and friend Vtol Dmitry Morozov. It's called Hot Ninja, and he did it in 2018. He developed this device which can create this like a Wi-Fi hotspot, and you can use like any title, and you can also spread political message through this like Wi-Fi hotspot title. And actually, what is interesting that I back then in 2018 and 2019, I saw like people used this for like to spread political message. So like they had this like Wi-Fi hotspot, free Navalny, and like other messages. And but he also used this to create his own server. So people, they, when they connected to this hotspot, they could there was no internet, but they could communicate through forum, or they could send messages or pictures. And let's watch documentation.
Hot Ninja is a multifunctional network device for autonomous activity in the city environment. Its main function is communication and propaganda through the Wi-Fi wireless standard. This is the Hacktivism DIY response to attempts by the authorities in different countries to control the internet. The project serves as an example of the possible opposition and decentralization of networks to ensure communications and provide notifications irrespective of whether there is access to the global internet or certain restrictions are applied. The device consists of three standalone Wi-Fi access points based on the ESP8266 chip and Arduino Mega board. The device is also equipped with a keyboard for typing text and OLED screen for convenience of use. Operating principle. When typing the text on the keyboard, I can at any moment create or change network names using the Latin alphabet or Cyrillic script. This makes it possible for the actual network names to serve as a way of transmitting specific information, personal messages, calls for action, mottos, notifications, or any other statement. As all state-of-the-art smartphones, tablets and computers are equipped with Wi-Fi modules, it is highly likely that such a message could be read. In crowded places, for example, the metro, numerous users constantly look for networks, and as there are usually precious few external networks, it is highly likely that numerous people will see the message. If the user is connected to one of the networks, then the captive page jumps out at the user. This page may have any deliberately assigned content, and inter alia, led to other pages located on my standalone servers. This will make it possible to deliver vast volumes of information, constituting an autonomous internet to all intents and purposes. The text of a cyberpunk manifesto by Christian Kirchev is placed on the demo page used in this video documentation. If I create network names which repeat in full popular city networks, for example MT-Free, Moscow Transport Wi-Fi, then the devices of a large number of people will be automatically connected to my device, as they recognize networks based on the name. Accordingly, the captive page leaps out to them by default, thereby forcing them to communicate information. In popular spaces similar to a cafe, I can create networks that are very similar to the original networks of these institutions. This will make it possible to compromise these networks and attract people instead to my standalone networks, where they will be offered an opportunity to view specific information. On one of the versions of the captive page, I created a form for sending a message, which makes it possible to obtain feedback from people connected to my networks. I see the messages in the log file of the server and can respond to them, with changing the network name. In another version, I redirected all the incoming messages from the log file to a special page that the user accesses as soon as he or she sends a message, thereby making it possible to establish a fully fledged autonomous and anonymous chat. Consequently, the device hidden in the pocket represents my small wireless pocket internet. The only possible way of closing access to the device is to physically smother the radio frequencies of the Wi-Fi standard. The field tests of the device demonstrated the high level of activity of users looking for free Wi-Fi and also successful hunting for devices that remember network names that I simulate with an identical name.
While these projects are artistic projects, you can imagine that they can be used in political context for political activism. And now I want to announce a new project which we're developing together with Valhalla Foundation. And we are launching this project next year, and we will support projects, functional tools, practical tools, addressing digital fascism, surveillance capitalism, propaganda infrastructures, and platform power, not through critique or speculation, but in a practical way, developing practical tools. And so we will support tools, devices, system, experimental software, strategic interventions, creative misuse of technology, and critical research practices. And some example area include resilient communication systems for high surveillance or restricted environments, open source tools to address censorship, misinformation, and media manipulation, critical AI applications such as bias detection, dataset forensics, and model interrogation, wearable and embedded devices as experimental or socially engaged tools, DIY privacy infrastructures, and decentralized data management. And we welcome media artists, hackers, engineers, scientists, creative technologists, and media investigators. So if you have some project which is too political or too experimental for traditional funding, you can apply to our open call next year. Please subscribe for updates about the platform. And if you have questions, please ask.
Thank you very much for the talk. We now have time for a QA session. So if you have a question, please approach one of the microphones. And we can also ask internet for questions.
Yes, we have a question from the internet. Does your 868 labs use a mesh core mesh testing standard so that it's an open standard, or is it a protocol?
Yeah, we are planning to collaborate with Meshtastic. They are very interested because now they're using Chinese solutions, but they're very interested in our development. Yes, but we are also exploring Reticulum, actually. We are interested in Reticulum as well.
Excellent. Microphone number two, please.
Thanks for the great insight. It's impressive to see that. Do you have experience on how authorities are trying to track down such devices?
Which devices exactly?
I mean, broadly, honestly, I haven't seen the first 10 minutes of the talk, but for everything that sends signals, mm-hmm. they could try to catch the people having, for example, such a server that hosts a Wi-Fi and then spreads propaganda, counter-propaganda.
Yeah, actually, I have to say that my friend had some problems, but I don't think I can tell you the details.
Thank you.
He was accused. Yeah, my friend was accused. Yeah, anyway, I don't think I can tell you this.
Thank you for the question. Microphone two, please.
Hello. Thanks very much for the presentation. I was really surprised by the reactions of the people with the hacked cameras. And I was wondering if you have any kind of comment or explanation of why they were reacting in this way. I was kind of thinking, would they be afraid?
Yeah.
Would they be like really defensive or attacking the cameras?
I had different types of reactions. I think many people were afraid because in Russia for like these kind of things like you can go to jail for 15 years. So you're basically an extremist. So they were very scared, and I think many of them they were confused. Because they didn't know who is talking, like what is happening. They were thinking maybe like who is testing them, like who wants to see their reaction. So I think many people were very scared.
If you have a question, please feel free to approach one of the microphones so that we can hear it. And at this stage, question from the internet, please.
Yes. Sometimes during raids, especially ICE in the US, but probably also other states, shut down ISP networks and also cellular networks. Do you have any plans on resisting that, or can your devices actually resist those shutdowns?
Can I please repeat?
Sometimes during raids or political mm-hmm. anti-protest, police shuts down cellular networks and also open Wi-Fi networks, ISP networks, so that local Wi-Fi doesn't work anymore. Do mm-hmm. you have any plans to resist those measures, or can your networks resist those
measures? But I think
like
our technology's response to this, this like LoRa-based mesh network is a response to this like shutdowns, actually. This is what we had in mind when we started developing the project.
I see, but can it resist jammers, actually, like frequency yeah. jammers?
I don't know. We have to test.
Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone number one.
Hey, thank you for your work in this area. I was curious, how do you see the difference between producing conceptual pieces and ideas and then actually building technological working entities? And yeah, what do you see you can learn from both, and what is their role?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm interested in both, in conceptual work, but also like in this creating new ways of communication, creating new devices, and some innovative approaches. I don't want to say innovation, but I think many artists, like many of my favorite artists, they use this kind of like non-conventional approaches to technology to develop something like mind-blowing or like something completely like new. Did I respond to your question?
Almost. It's like, because we can imagine ideas and concepts, right? Yes. Like how things would work. But yes. Then what happens when we actually build those?
We face a lot of challenges when we build things. Like when we want to make something like functional, it's sometimes very challenging. Yeah, that's why it's different from like having some speculative art when you have some like idea and then you can do a video, right? You don't have to develop a device, but when you're developing something functional, yeah, you're facing a lot of challenges. Yeah, this is like...
Thank you. Microphone number two, please.
Thank you. Regarding the question of the jamming, I mean, it's satellite network. And as you don't know the answer, maybe someone knows the answer. Can you jam the satellite networks from down here? Okay, no one else. Yeah, okay.
I think LoRa technology is pretty resilient, so it might sustain this.
And microphone two again, please.
Thank you for your presentation. I would like to ask about the camera project you did as well. Do you know of anything that came of it, so to speak? I mean, we saw the direct contact with the people, but do you know if there was any action taken by the government? Do you know if anything happened to the people who were listening to your messages? Did anything in this way substantial that you could point to exactly this happened? Because it was very fascinating to watch it, but I'm just curious if there was anything like,
Don't know. And to me, it was more like, I didn't see it as a project. To me, it was more like a way to support myself, to cheer up myself, but also to support these people because they don't have access to alternative perspective. They are very scared. Even if they're against the war, against Putin's regime, they don't have this perspective. They don't see it on media. And they're even like scared to express this not in public context, even like privately. So to me, it was also a way to support these people. And when you watch a video, you can definitely see that some of these people, they're against the war, right? They're against Putin. And to me, that was very, I was very happy to see this, like supporting these people. So it was actually a very personal project to me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the talk. I would like to ask for one more warm round of applause for Helena.